What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And he goes, I went to a KKK rally. And I literally say, I don't know what to say right now. And he was like, I got pictures. He had pictures. He literally met with them. And he goes, very misunderstood.
Welcome, fellow Leshes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Yeah, I don't notice that at all, but I'm a 52-year-old fat guy with a bad prostate. So anyway, welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. Hey, Reddit, suck it, okay? You know what we're talking about?
Wow, let's go right into the pissing them off.
Oh, Reddit and their fucking basement-dwelling fucking freaks.
All right, so if you want to see more of this wonderful, cool comment, like, subscribe, go to Instagram, YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe, and you can hear all the positivity that just flows from us.
Are you afraid of the Reddit army?
No.
You sound like
you're thought it'd be a good way in.
You sound like you're like, please.
No, like, no, I just thought it'd be a good segue.
Don't fucking kowtow to them.
Now, how many minutes is this now? And you're already swearing?
Well, that's fine. This we're through the intro. We're good. We can swear. It's not like you can't swear. You just can't say, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
The first 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, we fucked that up, all right? What do you want me to do? We all make mistakes.
No, I get it.
You know what?
I didn't say you was wrong. It was just funny that first thing you said when you came in. And then,
as the great Wayne Gretzky said, you miss every shot you take. Don't take, right?
Yes.
So we took a shot with that one. We were going shock and awe. We were going Howard Stern meets Michael Rapaport.
But I just thought it would be a nice
it didn't work.
Segue in.
Can we talk about what we're drinking instead?
Let's go, man. What are you pocketing over there?
Oh,
good thing. Let's go open that up. Good thing you threw it in the glass.
Did you see that?
Tavern is not open.
I always spill, but this time, this shit is so good that I already had it all in my glass, knowing that I was going to drink it. So yeah, this is a Scentsy Pop root beer, THC-infused root beer from Scentsy, sister company, I guess, to Carbon.
Oh, what's the milligram on that bad boy over there?
This is a 20, so I should be able to handle this one. It's delicious. It tastes just like a root beer. So it's...
And they have different levels?
They do have different levels. Yeah, they have a bunch of different...
This one's a 20 there.
Yeah, and they have some seltzers and some of the other stuff, too, but...
They have a lemonade 10 in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big root beer guy, though, so I thought I would try the root beer, and good choice. It's delicious.
Excellent.
So thank you to Scentsy. Thank you to Carbon. Appreciate
it. Setting off. Well, I'm back with our sponsors at Great Lake Distillery because their booze is delicious. Please go check it out because you will not be disappointed. This nice holiday gin they sent us. Look at that beautiful holiday gin. That'll be tomorrow night. But I did the little holiday gin with some lime, squirts of lime, and some ginger beer.
Did you squeeze the lime yourself?
I did.
Oh, so basically you're having a gin mule.
Do you want to know the ingredients on that?
Yeah, you already told me. Is that all you do is mules and plain? We've used their alcohol like 6 times now on the podcast.
This is my second mule.
Yeah, 2 mules and then a bunch of plain. You ever make?
I like. But I thought it'd be good.
It would be good. I would try it, but I got a cold.
That's very good. That's very delicious. I mean, look at that gin. It's got, I don't know what the flavoring in is that. Almost seemed a little cherry, but I'll have to dig into it a little more.
You should have maybe been prepared. I'm just saying, I can stall for you for like a minute or two.
No, that's all right. It's delicious regardless.
It doesn't matter what's in it as long as it tastes good, right?
That's what I just said.
Kinda, in a roundabout way. It's delicious. Let's stick with agreeing. It's been a week, man. It has been a week. Episode 250. Well, episode 250 has now been out for a little over a week.
Kicked our ass, literally.
But yeah, between recording of 250, the the hey, battle look, for hey, 249.
Look what I got.
Do you have a token? What is that, a thumbnail? Oh, people don't like that either, I found out. Sorry. You know what? And I get that one. I don't know how we got.
Totally get that one.
I think we got a little fancy free with the burps because we've, you know, you watch like the big guys, you watch like them, like Bert and Tom, and they burp all the time.
Yeah,
you
they go, can. Oh, they can.
But they can. You go, nobody wants to hear me burp. Why do I keep doing that? I promise that is my last burp until we're hitting 1 million views an episode. At that point,
you're already going to be calling him a liar in a couple minutes. He'll do it again.
Well, I'll try and burp off screen. I can't not burp, but I'll try and at least burp
off
screen.
We can't not burp. Yeah, it's true. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's a tough task.
I will not. I never have. This is really good. No, I haven't. I have not.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear. That's why we drink it.
There was a little left.
We don't promote anything. We don't drink ourselves.
Well, that's because we drink everything. Oh, that's what else.
So we wouldn't ask for more.
Somebody else said that, and I went, yeah, no shit. Somebody was like, looks to me like you're just two old guys trying hard to get paid to drink. And I went, yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
at any time or anywhere, did we hide that fact? Did they think they're Sherlock Holmes now that they figured that out?
That was almost my exact comment. But I got to the, I'm not going to lie.
No shit, Sherlock.
I got a little skittish with the Reddit army because I'm like.
So they did come after.
Oh, yeah. They came after our page. Yeah.
They're all like housewives?
No, they're all fucking incels in their fucking grandma's basement. Are you kidding me?
I just steer with the.
No, this is all
Reddit. Dudes. I always think of it's just home ec moms sharing things.
You're thinking Pinterest. This is Reddit.
Oh, I 100% am thinking Pinterest.
Yeah, no. Reddit is all fucking incel dudes in their basement playing video games on one screen, fucking jerking off on another screen, fucking typing messages on Reddit on the other one.
You know how you get an orange penis?
Jerk off with Cheetos?
Yep. All right, with that said, we don't want to.
It actually says Dr. Rabbit.
Leave a pretty lady waiting.
Look, it says Dr. Rabbit.
Dr. Rabbit tonight.
So without further ado, Dr. Rabbit, Casey Bills. Thank you for joining us, Casey Bills, Dr. Rabbit. We saw you. We got to know you from your appearance on Kill Tony. And then you got a. I got a message from a mutual friend, Kimberly Kester, messaged us and said, have you talked to Casey? You should have her on the podcast. You would love her. And I was like, I was already thinking about it, so I'm going to send her a message right now. So thank you very much for coming on and doing this.
Yeah, she's so sweet. Every time I go to Austin, she's like my go-to person. She's always sitting in the same place, and I just like gravitate towards her because she's just like so nice, and she has the best advice, and she like sincerely wants to see everybody do really well, which is like, it's a rare. Great feeling. No, yeah, it's rare. I didn't want to say it, but it is kind of rare. No,
you can, but it is, and she is a sweetheart as well. So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
So you went to Kill Tony. Now hold on a minute. From what I'm hearing, from when watching Kill Tony, that basically was your first time on stage in front of a large audience. Is that correct?
It was my first time ever. So there's a story behind that. They were vetting people. So they were right before when we were in Shakespeare's. And if people aren't familiar with how that works, you wait in line in Shakespeare's. And the lady who was working, and I think they change it up maybe because I've noticed every time they're completely different. She said, if you have never been on stage before, you will be weeded out. I can detect liars. So don't try to lie to me. And oh, so wow. So I'm like, oh no, I've never been on stage before. She gets to me and I'm like, and she goes, so how often do you do stand up? And I was like, I do stand up really every day in my classroom. Kind of a lie or whatever. And she went, what? And she was like, I went, yeah, I do stand up every day at my job. And she went, oh, okay. She totally did not understand what I was saying. And I get the cut. And my friend behind me goes, you're a fucking liar. And I was like, I'm not lying. I do kind of joke a lot in my classes. But, like, I've never seen it where they do that before. Usually, like, last time I went, they just said, do you have a minute prepared? If you don't have a minute prepared, get out of line. Don't waste people's time. And they didn't ask. Well, they asked people, like, what they're – and some people said it's my first time. And then they'd say – do you have a minute prepared? And so the last I want to say four times. That's all they've asked is, do you have a minute prepared? But that the time that I was on, they specifically said, how often do you do this? And there were people who were, you know, were like, I've done it four times. And they were like, get out of line. That's not enough.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, you had signed up.
And I'm not a good liar, so I don't know how it would be fun. I'm not a good liar, so.
I think you could see that when Tony was interviewing you, that you're not.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. I about confessed on stage, too. I about said, okay, I have a confession. It's all a lie. I've never been on stage before. I just don't feel really scared. But I didn't do that. I think I guess was like, think I'm funny, and here I am. Yep. I did like that.
Yeah, but. That's so, all right. Go ahead.
So how many times, I guess I thought that was your first time ever signing up. Have you been down there to sign up multiple times before that?
No, that was my second time signing up.
Okay.
The very first time I went down, I was among a group of friends and I just kind of got talked into it and didn't get drawn or whatever. And the second time the second time I like had an inkling of a feeling and I was sitting with Kimberly. That's how I met her. She was sitting beside me and it was so weird because she was like, I have a feeling you're getting drawn. And I was like, why? And she was like, I don't know. I have a feeling you're getting drawn. And I was like,
I think she said that. She said she's usually right.
Yeah, she did say that. Yeah.
She looked around and
I was like, I don't know. And then after she said that, I kind of felt that way as well. Sorry, I'm pouring myself a little drink right now.
You go. I said, you go. Yeah, we got ours. So
I got my rum shotta and then it'll be Fireball here in a second.
Rum shotta and Fireball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my basic Vic fall girl drink. You know, I just eat them fall. But anyway, so yeah. After she did that, then I got that feeling and I had a bit prepared. And what people don't know is what I did on stage was not at all what I had prepared. There was someone who came up to me and I don't want to get conspiratorial, but I wonder if they knew I was getting drawn or something because they were just random and they came up to me and they're like, can you do your bit for me? And I did it. And they were like, that's really good, but there's a little bit of a problem with it. And I was like, what's the problem? And they said, you're not addressing kind of uniquely how you look. And they were like, and we're not trying to be mean, but your voice sounds like you're one of those girls who thinks they're hot and they can just get on stage and be hot. And I was like, I don't think I give off that vibe. And they're like, you don't, and your jokes don't give off that vibe, but your voice does. If you go out there and do that, they're going to just roast the hell out of you. And it does not matter. You could be the funniest comedian on earth. They're just going to roast you to death. And it doesn't matter what you say from there. And I think that was good advice. But at the same time, I then got drawn. I had no material. I'm running over to Shakespeare. Like the guy's like, you know, running me over. I have nothing to say. I don't know. I'm making something up in my head. I have no idea. And so what I did on that stage was, yes, at the top of my head. The very last thing that I did about the rabbit joke, like people equated it to how I fuck rather than the more obvious picture. Where I got that from was because I did have a TikTok where I put Dr. Rabbit so my students couldn't find me because I just like posted funny stories on there. It doesn't exist anymore. But someone one time was like, did you make this name because of a dildo, like the rabbit dildo?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I know. I kind of stole random, you know, bot commenter. Sorry. My dog was really obnoxious.
That's all right. But,
I just stole that from them.
So, hey, it worked.
If it works, it works.
I loved your I loved how you ended your own set with a meow. It was just I actually laughed out loud. I'm like, she actually ended her own set. Like I've never heard anybody do that.
It got silent and honestly I had something else I wanted to say and I blanked. I just completely blanked and I still to this day don't know what it is. And it's not and I'm kinda glad because that was driving me nuts laying in bed if it was just like, damn it, if I would have said that. I had something else and totally don't remember it. Maybe it's not good anyway. So I totally don't remember it. But I remember being like, there's a ball. I don't know what to do. And I think that's kind of what won me over because like when I walked the reap, because I don't know what they're doing while I'm giving the bit. Right. As I walked the remake, I saw Tony just look down like, fuck is this girl doing? I think that's kind of what saved me at that point. Nothing else I'm going to.
Yeah, it's funny is because I watch Kill Tony. I mean, I watch pretty regularly. And honestly, when you did that, I thought it was going to go the opposite way for you, because I really thought when you like didn't do the whole minute that he would be all pissy about it. But you're so damn likable that right from the get go, it just like disarmed. And like, I was like, yeah, you nailed it with the interview for sure.
Well, thank you. And the other thing too was like, my face was having these horrible like facial spasms, like even before, like, because I couldn't control it. Now I got Botox and stuff, so it doesn't do it. It happens sometimes. I get nervous and like, oh, it was so bad. There's a point, I think they may have edited it out. If it's not edited out, it's just not obvious, where you see Tony, he doesn't say it in the microphone, but he looks at me and he goes, are you good? Like, I don't think it's like, it's either edited out or it's not noticeable. I don't know, because like, it was just like going crazy. And I think I fully think I went on there. And again, not to be conspiratorial, but when I went up there, I think they saw me and they were like, this is our point to destroy this girl. This is what we're going to do. I think they we are just going to annihilate this girl in front of everybody. And then I think they saw like, we can't do this to her. And then, you know what I mean? Like, we can't do this to her. And then when I ended it at the very end, we just said, oh, by the way, I was in an accident. They were like, probably like, oh, shit. You can tell, like, the awkward silence, like.
They did, yeah.
Oh, no. You know, kind of thing. And what's really funny about that episode, and this is edited in, the Better Talk or Talk, whatever that ad is for therapy, that actually wasn't said as I was getting off stage. I don't remember, but they were saying something else about me. Like, it's something about being unexpected. So they actually did edit that part in there. So I don't know what was said about me when I walked off stage, but I know it left everybody like, oh shit, that could have been bad. Like, we could have really made an asshole of ourselves after that. But, yeah.
I was gonna say earlier when you said Tony was checking on you, they probably did edit that out. He probably didn't want to. He doesn't want anybody to think that he's ever nice to anybody. So he's like, edit that out. Like, hey, can't show weakness.
Yeah.
That's, you don't hear that about Tony at all ever.
Not often, no.
You know that he's go for the jugular.
You know, I get mixed feelings from him. I say this like I personally know him, but I do think he probably is a nice guy outside. I don't know. I get mixed feelings from him because, like, he didn't have to. I mean, he could have just destroyed me on there if he wanted to. He could have just had no empathy. He could have had just annihilated me, ruined my life, and just let it go. And just let it go with that. But he didn't. I've seen him, like, at the Kill Tony after party. I mean, he gave me a hug. He was really nice. Now, granted, I was escorted out by a security, but he didn't know. He didn't know that happened. But,
All right.
Back up.
I had heard this and I didn't know if we were talking about this story, but since you brought it up.
Yep. Let's go.
It's almost like it hurt me at the time, but it was just a, you know, no pun intended, a comedy of errors. So like, I got invited to the Kill Tony after party, and I'm not going to say who invited me, but someone, you know, who was affiliated with the show invited me. And
it was Red Band.
Drunk, by the way, everybody there is just completely drunk. I'm completely sober because, like, I didn't know about getting drawn or, you know, what the deal was. And I had a 5 a.m. flight. So I'm not drinking that night. So it was Monday night. I have a 5 a.m. flight Tuesday. And so they invite me and, you know, I get my little wristband or whatever. What I didn't know is the person who was inviting me, he had something to do in the morning, and so he couldn't stay. And there's a rule of, like, if you invite a guest, you have to stay with your guest or whatever. And I don't know if there was, like, a communication mix-up. I don't know what happened, but I walk in, Red Band sees me, and he was like, Dr. Rabbit! And he was like, and a card coming, gives me a hug, and he was like, you've got to meet Tony! And I was like, all right. And I have this weird thing where I don't recognize faces, like I just don't, and that kind of adds to the story as well. I could see like Justin Bieber walking down the street and I would have no idea it's Justin Bieber. Like, recognize. I sat one time by Jerry Springer at a bar and did not know it was Jerry Springer for at all. So my mom, so like, I don't recognize faces. It's very strange, and it is what it is. So I run up to Tony, plus it's a dark environment and stuff. I run up to Tony, and he gives me a hug, and he was like, hey, I want to talk to you for a second, but I got to talk to this person real quick. And it sounded like kind of a networking thing. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So he has me stand somewhere. I'm standing there. I'm sober. This is awkward. I'm just like, I'm on my phone pretending to like be texting. I'm not.
We've all been there.
Yep. Yep.
Like, and it's a weird situation where everybody in there is famous. And so I can't, it's not a normal bar situation where I can just walk up and be like, hey, how are you? I can't do these people are like famous. And I'm looking around for like regulars who are not like super famous that I can.
Yeah, who's the least famous in this room? I need the least famous person.
I'm the least famous in this room.
Well, that's me.
Yeah. I meant the second least famous.
That I can approach and it not be weird. And like, I'm looking around and I don't recognize anyone. And I'm like, oh no, oh no, no, no. I don't know what to do. And so I'm just sitting there awkwardly. Heidi comes up to me, sweet as can be. It's an absolute doll. She comes up, gives me a hug, and she was like, oh my gosh, you are just the cutest thing and you're so little. I wish I was that little. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm sure you look exactly like me. The feeling is useful. He's super nice. And so she's like, you know, hug or whatever. And she was like, are you waiting for Tony? And I was like, yeah, I think he forgot about me though. And she was like, oh, he'll get to you. No big deal. And I'm like, super sweet. I guess as sweet as can be. And, you know, I'm sitting there telling him, oh, I wish I was as little as you. I'm like, yeah, right. I wish I was as high as you. So feeling neutral, but whatever. And, you know, she's really nice. But she walks off and I'm still standing there. Security comes up to me and they go, you can't be stalking Tony. And I was like, no, no, no. He told me to stand here. And they were like, right. And I was like, I swear. And I was like, but I get it. I get it. I was like, where do you want me to go? And they were like, go over there. And Mitzi's is not a very big bar. So I'm getting ready to go over there. Someone drops a glass who I now know is Adam Ray. I don't recognize faces. This is where that comes in.
Okay.
Adam Ray was also dressed as an old woman. It was that episode where he was dressed as an old lady. So I thought it was a trans lady. Part of me thought it was Bruce Jenner at one point. But I was like, maybe, I don't know who this is. I literally at one point was like, is this Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, whatever. I was like, I literally had no idea who this person was. Drops a glass and shatters. And so now I'm standing there, still need to get to the other side of the room. Bartender comes up to me and, or not to me, and he's picking up. And I was like, I got to go over there. And he goes, I got to pick up this glass. And it's a stressful environment for a bartender or janitor. I'm not really sure what he was. And I was like, I have to go over there. And he was like, you cannot be stepping on glass. I will clean it up. And he's getting frustrated. And I get it. That's a stressful job. So he's picking up the glass or whatever. And so now I'm standing there. Tony then comes to give Adam Ray shit for dropping that glass. I don't think he even realizes I'm standing there. And so now I'm standing there and bartender, janitor, whoever it was, cleans up all the glass. Security comes back and he goes, you're now in a different location. Stalking Tony in a different location. And no, this trans lady dropped a glass, and so I had to stop. And I was like, technically Tony came to me. And he goes, a trans lady dropped a glass and Tony came up to you. And I went, yeah. And he goes, there is no trans lady and there was no glass. Tony would not have come up to you. You are getting escorted out. And now I know that Adam Ray.
Oh, I love that. It was Elaine.
But so I'm escorted by security. I'm so embarrassed. I'm not gonna lie, I go to my hotel and I just ugly cry. I'm like, I just ruined like my entire shot at comedy. Like,
and I'm sober.
Yeah, right? That's what you get for being sober.
I was sober, damn it. Done, like it's over. And so yeah, and you know, and like I don't blame Red Band for the situation, because like he kind of abandoned, he was hanging out with me for a little bit, but he kind of abandoned me because a stripper came in. Like I totally get it. Like it,
you know, well, he got, I mean, yeah, you kind of gotta understand. Yeah, he's gone.
However, if Red Band ever sees this, I do have a little bit of beef about that. I did take the photo for them and I didn't get credited for said photo, I would have appreciated the credit, but it's okay.
There we go.
It's okay, Red Band. No biggie. But
it's not okay, Red Band. Make the fix.
Hey, Red Band.
I'll call him out.
I don't think you remember, but yeah, I've cleared it up with all of them. I think. I don't know. But it's all good. So
it's a great story.
It is a great story.
Probably sucked in the moment, but you got a comedy story out of it.
Right.
Oh yeah. It sucked in the moment. I mean, I ugly cried in my hotel. I cried in the airport with like my hood up. I was like, ruined everything. I was not meant to be at this party. Like, it's bad, but you know.
Was it the same night that you were on the show, or you had come back for?
No, I had come back. I had come back. It was about a month later. I had come back. I didn't get drawn. Well, obviously, I haven't been back on, so I didn't get drawn. But I had come back, and it was just like a mutual person who like works for the show who just randomly invited me.
Gotcha.
And I don't think he knew that like there was a rule about like he had to be there, or I don't know. I think there's just a lot of miscommunication that went on because it's crazy in there. And there's no way they can keep track of people. And I get it because like, I'm sure there are people who like sneak in there. I don't know how they sneak in, but I'm sure there are.
They try.
I just like the fact that they're like, you know, my question for you is, how long have you been stalking Tony? Because it sounds like.
I haven't been stalking Tony because, again, I don't recognize faces. So I wouldn't be able to find him. And the thing about Tony is, like, he doesn't have, like, a distinctive, like, so in that party, there's, like, the tech people who work for Kill Tony, too. Like, I met, like, someone who does, like, some of the tech optics or whatever.
Okay.
And they're not the biggest of people. They're kind of nerdy, like, looking people. And so for someone like me who doesn't recognize faces, everybody just blends in. It's dark. So, like, honest to God, if Red Band would not have ran me up to Tony, I would not have been able to pick him out. I just wouldn't have been able to pick him out of the crowd if I wanted to. It's too packed. It's too dark. I don't recognize faces. And he's not the tallest of people. So he gets covered up. It's the whole thing. I was very recognized. I looked ridiculous. I had a big glitter bow on. No wonder I was like a sore, you know, I was a target for security, really. I had this glitter like shirt on and this big glitter bow. Like, I mean, they probably
I
was under 21 was probably the first thought. And then second, it was just like, this is a weirdo. Like,
what you're describing, yeah, that's what a stalker would wear.
It's definitely what a stalker would wear, but
stalker uniform.
It went with my bit. I can't give it away because I do plan to use that bit again. Not that outfit. I've learned a lesson. That outfit.
All right.
That outfit is cursed. But you know.
So you will be trying again to get pulled.
Yeah. I've made frequent visits. I've got more planned. I have to do it. I'm a professor, so I do it during like Christmas break, and I do it during which is coming up. I've got 2 months during Christmas break, and then I've got all summer. And for my work too, I travel a lot just in general for academic conferences. And now I try to go to do some open mics while I'm there. I just kind of Google, like when I was in there, I just try to find things. If there's any podcasts there, I'll try to find them and stuff. Nice. And so trying to make the best of it. But yeah, because of that, I have a ton of miles just from like work because I just record those miles.
Okay.
And sponsored by Delta. No. And so I guess I have a ton of miles. And so that's really kind of how I fund going down there. Plus it's Austin. It's fun. Even though now I've been there so much that I barely leave the hotel. What's really embarrassing is I stay at the same hotel and I order the same thing from Champions. And last time I was there, it was the same girl who delivered my food like the first few times. And she was like, "Oh, hi, Casey." And I was like, I need a new hotel.
I've had that happen to me at the Taco Bell drive-through line. So that's even more embarrassing.
That's more embarrassing. Yeah.
Pull up for the fourth night in a row and they're like, "Hey,
we have your order already."
Yeah. You know, that'd be real bad. Like, "Oh, is this Casey? Oh, no, we'll get it prepared." Like, "Oh,
we got it.
So, Champions, that girl, she knows me now. <Yeah. laughs> That's really weird.
So, where you live though in Indiana, do you have open mic somewhere? Are you trying to get signed up for more or anything like that?
So I live in Goshen, Indiana, which is literally like when I say Amish town, like I'm not trying to make a joke. It's not a bit like people say, oh, I live in Amish town. Literally, I it takes me an hour to go to work, not because it takes an hour, but because I get stopped by horse and buggies all the time. Like it takes forever. Like it's primarily Amish where I live. You know, it's just primarily Amish where I live. And so there are open mics, but the problem is they're not super consistent. Like if they don't get enough people sign up, they just won't have it. Or it's one of those things where it's like, oh, they had it tonight. Like they're not like every Thursday. They're not every Tuesday. Like they're not consistent. Like they're just kind of weird. So if I want to do an open mic, I've really got to go to Chicago. But the problem about Chicago is you make that trip up there, theirs are randomized too.
Sure.
So, you know, you got to find, and I have some connections in Chicago where I've asked like, you know, which ones do like few people sign up for so that, you know, like, if they draw 15, like maybe only 20 signed up. So like the odds are bigger because that is, you know, a 2.5 hour drive for me to just go all the way up there and then not, you know, cause
right. Right. Yeah.
So
have you ever thought about starting like a comedy open mic night in the Amish community?
There's an Amish guy who actually does do comedy. I don't think he's from this area, but I've seen it. I've seen him actually perform here, but I don't know if he's from this area or not.
Nice.
I don't know. They have some weird rules about being on camera and stuff. I think they got to be on Rumspringer or something, but yeah.
I assume they have to yell really loud when they do their comedy because they can't use microphones, right?
That could be.
The microphone. That is true. He doesn't use the mic. I mean, they cheat. Like they'll have like, I mean, they do a lot of things as cheating. They have a personal driver when they have to go far. They have someone else that they pay cash who has a cell phone plan and they just conveniently leave it in a field. Like, I mean, they find ways to get around what they do, but yeah.
You're telling all the secrets.
Yeah.
Anytime you find a cell phone on a tree stump, it's probably for an Amish dude. Leave it there.
Yeah, I'm just leaving it.
Amish person. Go look at their search history too. I'm sure it's really... It's really interesting.
Probably the same as mine. Amish porn.
It's up there.
They don't like. I don't think they do sex ed or anything. So it's probably just nothing but porn. I shouldn't say that. Like, I'm gonna go.
We're supposed to be having a woman on. She had to reschedule, so we're trying to do it in the new year. But some woman who grew up Amish and left the Amish to become a stripper, and then now she's a married mother, and so. We're gonna ask all the Amish secrets.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of them.
Well, so, that's where you're born, is in Indiana?
Yeah, I grew up in Columbia City, Indiana. It's near Fort Wayne, Indiana. It itself is not Amish, but it's adjacent to this. They're around. But Goshen is primarily Amish. You know, Columbia City. We were known as Chlamydia City. really high class school that I went to. Most of my classes were on trailers. And most of the people were chlamydia lived in trailers. So like it was an experience, that's for sure.
So you're growing up, and you said people were saying, hey, you know, you're funny. So what did you like an inspiration as you were younger growing up in comedy world, or you just naturally made fun of things?
So I just loved watching comedies, but I watched it with my grandpa a lot. Like I loved, and here this will get me in a little bit, well, I don't know, but like I remember when I was younger, the Carlos Mencia Joe Rogan like feud. I was all in as a child. Like why, I don't know, but I was all in, and I was like, I love this Carlos Mencia, but now I hate him. I am like I was all into that feud, and so like I guess really liked watching it. I watched that, and then the roast of Comedy Central was kind of like my biggest first exposure to it. I loved watching like all of those too. Like those were like my Super Bowl, was watching all those. But I watched a lot of stand-up comedy. Now, that was a bit of a problem, though, because a lot of stand-up comedy back then was very racist. And I was a child, and I would, like, go to school and, like, say, and they, well, I went to a kind of a racist school, so they didn't, like, yeah, you know, probably not the best, but it is funny. Like, Carlos Mencia one time had a joke, probably stole this joke, but, like, he had a joke about a terrorist attack. He was like, why is it that a black person can't hijack a plane? It's because you can't turn around and sell a plane or something. And, like, a child, like, in elementary school, just repeating that to people. And my parents were just like, you can't say that.
You can't do that.
You know, and I don't even think I understood the joke back then. But, yeah.
You're not. You're like, I don't even know what it means, but I just.
I did it.
I'm just saying it.
9/11 joke, and I just was like saying it all the time. There's only things I probably said, and my parents were just like, "You can't say that. Like, stop. You can't be watching these shows anymore because you don't know what you're doing."
I think this is kind of on them. You're just they're letting you watch this shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my fault. Like, you know, you're like, yeah, that's what kids do.
It's grandpa.
It's grandpa. Grandpa's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not here to defend himself, so I can't.
But you gotta love grandpas that'll just, you know, come on, let's watch this. You're fine. You'll be fine.
You know what? And in his urn right now, he's probably not turning in his urn. He's probably like, checks out. You know,
I gotta feel he's pretty proud right now.
He might be.
to know that you would. That you actually got up on stage, and if you never do it again, but at least you got a, you know, a minute on national stage like that. I would say he's pretty damn proud.
He's probably proud. He's probably the only proud family member. That's for sure. I don't know if mom and dad are necessarily proud. I don't know if they were. They have not mentioned it at all.
Really?
Like, no. It's like people have mentioned it to them, and they're just like, yep, she did go on there and say some raunchy things about sex. It's, you know,
well,
not one of our proudest moments, but I'm sure she's said, that's the thing. I've said worse in other places. So,
so that brings up a good word, because you did pause just a bit before you did come out with how I fuck, you know, that's with the rabbit, Dr. Rabbit. You did pause a minute there, but what has the reaction been with your students, particularly with that joke?
Actually, they haven't really said anything specifically about the joke going back to school. So here's the thing, that episode aired the first week of classes, and I'm like going in and
even better.
Like, so it was a Monday night, obviously my classes are Tuesday, Thursday. And so I'm like, I don't know what I'm walking into the very first day of class. I'm like, do I address it? Do I stay quiet? I stay quiet. Didn't say anything, and like, I don't know, I just like felt a vibe in a room, and I'm like, it's probably in my head, like, because this is a younger demographic too, like they're 18, you know, they're 19, yeah. 18, 20, at most 21, like my upperclassmen, but I teach a lot of lower classmen, you know, classes. So I was like, I think it's kind of out of their demographic anyways. And so I don't know, but what was funny was there's a student who just always kind of made comments. Like, we were going around the room and I had them like share a fun fact about themselves. And they were like, I really like stand-up comedy. And I was like, what? I was like, who's your favorite comedian? And they were like, I really like Tony Hinchcliffe. And I was like, awesome. And I was like, well, that's really cool. I really appreciate it. And they were like, and I was like, oh, and I was like, no, they're not saying anything.
They all know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They all know.
That's awesome that they did that.
Yeah. Another time a student came up. Now, this is really scary, but another student, you'll see why it's scary. Another student came up to me and she goes, I just wanted to tell you, my dad is your biggest fan. And if you're ever in Texas, we live in Dallas. I know it's like 2 hours away from Austin, but you can crash at our place. My dad is obsessed with you. My mom thinks you're hilarious. They like will give my bedroom to you. And she tells me all the time, she's like, and her dad's a pilot, and I guess he listens to Kill Tony while he flies. And so I'm not gonna say what airline, because that's
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's kind of a scary thought. Things like that, Violet. But, and she was like, if you're ever on a podcast, send it to me because he just loves listening to you.
Well, hey, dude.
Hi. We'll just say hi now.
Yes. Hi, hello. With the podcast we'll be playing as a pilot is flying a plane somewhere.
All right.
There you go.
I mean, watch, pay attention, but listen.
I don't know if you guys can see like demographics of, you know, like who watches the podcast or not, but you're going to have a spike in, because I teach at an all girls school, you're going to have a spike in girls ages 18 to 20. Like, what has happened to our demographic? Because it's, you know, they're all curious about their professor. They want to know.
Well, at least they're 18.
Whew.
Yeah, at least they're 18. That's true.
Well,
we usually sell, well, like if I meet somebody or someone I work with over the years and we talk about the podcast, I always stop and say, just don't watch it when your kids are around.
Yeah, right?
Well, hopefully my daughter, she can't find anything online anyways. But yeah, that's one of the things that like, I don't know if she'll ever have the cognitive ability to be able to find the stuff. But one of these days, if she does,
doesn't mean that somebody might not show it to her.
I mean, if someone shows it to her, but I don't think she'd understand it. Jokes, like,
sure.
I can't imagine no one showed her at school or anything, but I don't think she would understand the jokes. I mean, sure. I still probably have some like explaining to do. I mean, I've had a lot of explaining to do to some people, but you know, it's like I was on a plane one time. And a guy like took a selfie with me and like all this stuff. And well, it was really awkward because it was a black man. And he was just like, so you say some interesting jokes about black people. And I was like, so here I am, like sitting by him. And I'm like, yes, Nicholas, you're accepted by our community. I need a selfie. You know? I was like, thank God.
Wow.
I was like, I don't mean to be like, you know, the black TV, you know, like I have a, whatever that, I have a black friend. You know, joke, but I have a black daughter. I think that's a step up from the black friend joke. I do have a black daughter. So I don't know. I did work at a black college, so I think I'm semi accepted by the community.
That's a very funny joke about you being a DEI-er.
I am a DEI. I don't know how. And I taught cultural diversity there, too. That was the funniest thing. Like, I thought it was like a bad joke. I really did. My core, because you don't pick what courses you teach. I get my course list is cultural diversity, and I'm like, what? Like, I'm at a black college, and I'm teaching cultural diversity.
Where's Ashton Kutcher? What's happening? Where are the cameras?
And I was like, is this real? Like, yeah, like Ashton Kutcher, where you at? Like, what is? And I was like, are you sure you want me doing this? I don't know if this is, I'm a white girl from like the cornfields. Do you really think that I teach culture diversity? I'm diverse in the fact that I know Mormons, I know Amish, I know Mennonite. I'm kind of diverse in that. And Pentecostal. I'm kind of diverse in that area, but
you know, every shade of white.
Yeah, I know.
What it comes down to.
Like, other than that, like I don't know about this. And they were like, it's because we worked at other universities where we were the token black person and we had to teach that class. We don't want to be that anymore. You're now our token white person. You teach the class. And so now I'm like teaching cultural diversity to a whole like room of black students. And like, and I just addressed it in the beginning. I was just like, yeah, I know this is weird. but here we are. No, they might really like me. They thought it was
okay.
Funny.
Like, you're so that first class.
I'm just picturing Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds.
Did Coolio start singing when you walked into the room? That maybe that's over here. Was it Dangerous Minds? No.
Yeah.
Dangerous Minds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can
you know
tell
that
you
movie?
Do what? What you meant? Or what movie?
Dangerous Minds, that movie?
Oh, why do I've heard of it, but I can't.
With Michelle Pfeiffer?
I can't put my finger on it, but I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Go ahead and look it up. Yes. You might see some parallels there.
Well, I can tell you, I literally thought I was going to get fired my first year because of a student, and I'm going to call him out by name, Ian. So the only Ian, he wouldn't care. I won't use his last name. But actually, I don't remember his last name, to be honest. But anyway, so I thought I was going to get fired because when you teach a class for the first time, they usually give you a syllabus and they give you assignments. So it's not like, you can change it later on, but since it's your first time, you don't have a whole lot of time. And so the assignments were all created for me. And one of them was the students had to go to an event that was a diverse event, and it had to be like something that was not them. So like they could go to a mosque, you know, if they weren't, you know, Muslim, they could go, you know, to like a, I don't know, one person went to like a Latin bar or something. I don't know. they just had to go to something that was like not them.
Somebody went salsa dancing.
A lot of them just went to a mosque. There was one nearby, and that was kind of the easiest thing. And this student, I kid you not, so I had them share, and I was like, I'm just curious, like, so where did everybody go? One person was like, I went to a Greek festival, and I was like, oh, really cool. So, like, people have, like, really cool, like, things. One went to, like, an LGBTQ thing, and they're not a part of that. And I was like, oh, cool. And so, going around, gets to him, and he goes, and this is a black man, and he goes, I went to a KKK rally.
What?
The class gets silent. And I have no idea what to say. And I literally say, I don't know what to say right now. And some girl goes, you dumbass, and just like starts yelling at him. And I was like, you did not. And he was like, I got pictures. He had pictures. He literally met with them. And he goes,
I mean, they're not like selfies where he's like, hey, next to a guy in a sheet, is it?
Yeah, I'm just like, what? And he goes, very misunderstood group of people. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm done. Like my first job, I'm fired. Like this is going to hit the news. Like I am fired. All I'm going to go is white professor at black university sends black to KKK rally. That's how that's going to go. And I was just, yes. I said, if this goes down, you're going down with me. As in this is how it's going. But I told like our dean and stuff. And he was like, was that Ian? And I was like, yes. And he was like, he's always doing stuff like that. It's fine. He was like, it's his own stupidity. Just let it go. And he was like, but was the thing for good? I was like, I mean, it was interesting. It was indeed interesting. I bet. He went out on a limb. And I was like, it was indeed a group that was different than himself. he knew the assignment.
I hope he got an A+.
Yeah, I was going to wait. We're missing the main point. He survived.
I had to dock it. He followed the instructions. He followed the instructions. Like I couldn't dock him. And he's a good writer too. That's the thing about him. Like I could see him being, when I say good writer, like I could see him being like one of those people who like writes a novel, like kind of write. Like he's a really good at like telling stories and expressing himself. And like he's got his hell. Honestly, he could probably publish that thing. Turn it into a book.
Yeah.
It's just like I can't even punish him for this.
And the name of his book is My White Professor Made Me Go to a KKK Rally.
I knew that was going to go down. Luckily that all happened about a time where a professor accidentally drove her car through someone's house naked and she ran from the police naked and hid in their closet. So I think I was safe from like the press.
Whoa. Wait, that happened near you?
At your college?
Mm-hmm. Old college, not this one.
Right. The first one. Wow,
that's a good drunk driving there.
That's a fun school.
Cover,
it sounds like
you got all the bases.
You got a fun school going on there.
He is no longer employed. Also, she was white. So,
well,
the two white people who were hired did not
stick around.
Did not fulfill. I was not fired. I left for a very good reason.
That's true.
I joke and I say the reason I left was because Trump became president and he got rid of the DEI initiative, so I had to leave. I joke and I say that, but
another good one. That's another good one.
That's not true. I really did leave for like family purposes, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into that, but I got one last question. When the other professor was drunk, naked, driving through the school or whatever, was Ian in the car with her?
Ian was not in the car with her.
Okay.
In the car with her. I got a phone call, and I've gotten many phone calls from this individual, intoxicated. And so she called me, and she goes, something bad has happened. And I could tell she was going, I'm going to call her Sally for these purposes. Her name's actually not Sally, but I'm going to call her Sally.
That's fine.
Because I'll accidentally say her name if I don't make up a name. And I'm like, what's going on, Sally? And she goes, I drove drunk. And I was like, all right. And she goes, and I wrecked my car. And I'm like, are you safe? And she goes, I'm out of the vehicle. And I was like, that's good. And I'm like, where's the vehicle? And she goes, I believe in the person's kitchen. And I'm like, in the person's kitchen. I'm like, I need more details. And she goes, I drove it into a family's kitchen. And I'm like, were they hurt? No, they were in the living room watching TV. And I'm like,
and all you heard was, boy, this surround sounds really good on these crashes. Why are you
watching like Family Feud with your family and like cars? Like, drive through your house. And I'm like, okay, Sally. I'm like, where are you? She goes, I'm hiding in their closet. And I'm like, Sally, I think you need to get out of the closet. I think you're going to be found. They can run your license plate. I think you're caught. I think it's best you get out of the closet. And she goes, I am naked.
Good thing it was a closet. Hopefully it was a clothes closet, not like an industrial closet.
And now I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I was like, you can't steal her clothes, too. You can't get a charge on her appropriately. You're like, you're already, I don't even know what kind of a charge this is. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So the lady who, what a saint, I don't know who this person is, but the lady who like owns the house or lives there gets her clothes like and was like taking care of her. And I'm like,
aww.
So sweet after stuffing yourself in your kitchen after trying to watch, you know, the Grammys with your family, you know, drive their car through your kitchen. That's a very nice thing to do. And they're naked on top of it. Well, then, like,
I suppose that'd have been weird to just be like, you can wait for the police naked.
And she's clearly getting arrested, you know, at the school. So I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I called my dean and I'm like, hey, Sally got arrested. And he goes, and he goes, is it the alcoholism? And I'm like, yeah. It might be in the paper too. And he goes, why did she get a DUI? And I'm like, I would assume. And I was like, and probably a destruction of property, maybe a breaking and entering. I was like, I'm not sure what the laws are when you drive your car drunk through someone's house. And I was like, probably indecent exposure as well.
To top it off.
I could hear his facial expression. Like, it was just silent. Yeah. But I could hear what was going on. And he was just like, thank you for telling me, Dr. Bills. I appreciate everything that you've done for her. I'm going to let you go. Hangs up.
Do we know at what point she got naked? Was she naked before she crashed, or she got naked after the?
It was a hookup gone wrong. It sounds like.
Okay.
It sounds like because he was found naked too.
Oh, okay.
Where was he?
Close or in the car? In the trunk? Not in the trunk. Tell me, not in the trunk.
He was looking for her. He was looking for her because they got like in a fight and he was looking for her to try to like stop her, but he was naked too in a field. And so he just got an indecent exposure. But like they had a disagreement of some sort and then they got back together. It was a happy ending. They got married.
Just gonna ask, is there a happy ending? Are they together today? Come on. Not really.
They got married.
They got married. I have not. You know, I'm not kept up with them. I don't know if they're still married, but what a beautiful story they are.
It is beautiful.
That is fantastic. The best part is that was like the first time they ever hooked up.
That's her
and
first
they
date.
Still ended up together forever.
Meet on Tinder. That's a Tinder story. If only I could have been at the wedding. I'm sure that was a great, I'm sure that was a fun wedding. I'm sure that was a happy wedding.
Yeah.
One for the ages.
There's some weddings you don't want to miss.
Wow. Well,
oh my God.
I don't even know where to go from that one.
Well, here's what I got to say.
Okay, top that.
I remember when you walked on stage at Kill Tony and my first thought was, oh, here comes this cute, innocent thing. They're going to tear her apart. Little did I know. And then I saw you in a podcast interview recently. Little did I know, you don't have a big filter or I like this side. Like, this is fun. I thought you were more cute and innocent.
No, I don't have a filter. Like, I come off very cute. And I think that's why my students like me. Because, like, I bring attention to the awful things I say, too. Like, I'm horrible about it. Like, in class, I will say something, like, highly inappropriate. And I will be like, that was highly inappropriate. That'll definitely get me fired. Please don't put that in my 14 ballot. And then the students will be like, you didn't hear that until now. You brought attention. Can you please repeat what you said? Because now we're interested. And so, like, they think it's funny, like, what did I say the other day that was bad? Oh, right now I'm in the process of suing Meta right now because my Facebook got hacked and they won't talk to me and I'm getting fed up with it. So I'm going to take them to court. I'm that kind of crazy where it's just like, you know what? If you won't fix it, I'll just take you to small claims court. Small claims court is $6,000. I'm suing them for $5,999.99.
I hope you win. I hope you win.
I will be that petty and make them show up in small claims court. I'm not fucking around. People had showed up at my house wanting to buy things from my degenerate uncle that doesn't exist. People had texted me, I'm tired of it. I don't want to put up with it. But in class, I was so mad because the FBI had called me like 3 times in class. I was so fed up. And I told the class, I was like, I'm going to vent for a second. I was like, I'm going to rant. I was like, the FBI is calling me right now. I was like, I have given them the goddamn email of this person who has hacked my Facebook account. They have the email. They have the Meta account. They have the Instagram account. They have the VPN brand, which I'm not going to reveal a brand. And I was like, they are out of Los Angeles, making it look like they're out of bandwidth. They're in Los Angeles with a cheap Chromebook that's not even updated. I have given the FBI all of this. And I said, no fucking wonder we know nothing about who shot Trump and nothing about who shot Charlie Kirk. No fucking wonder. And I was like, maybe Cash Patel isn't hiding anything. Maybe he is just that fucking stupid. And after I said all of that, they all look at me and I was like, yeah, that was too far. And I was like, all right, we're going to transition to today. We're going to talk about security and
social open your books to page 3.
I have taken it too far.
I would definitely sign up for your class. See, I wouldn't care if I was interested in the topic or not. I would sign up for your class.
I say a lot of things. Like, there's one chapter that goes through. So I teach social work, and it goes through each presidency, and it talks about like the pros and cons and like how it like affected social work. Like, it goes through like the Bush era, and it talks about a good thing that happened, bad thing, then how it like affected like the pros and cons. And it's an extremely boring chapter. There is nothing fun about that chapter at all. It's a boring chapter ever. And so when he gets to the Kennedys, I always go, unfortunately, you know, yeah, okay, he had all these great ideas. It was great. And I study disabilities. I'm like, he had a lot of good reform policies for disabilities. But unfortunately, the CIA assassinated him after Marilyn Monroe compromised him. So, you know, all these policies didn't go to effect. So now we move on to our next part. And they're all like, wait, what? And
oh,
super dramatic. I'm like, yeah, after Marilyn Monroe tried to compromise him and it didn't work, and you know, then our CIA unfortunately had to assassinate him, and then we moved on. And they're always like, wait, what? And then I don't go back to it. And so, like, I always try to like do something to like catch their attention because it is such a boring chapter. And so I always stuff like that, but
spice it up a bit. Well, that brings up a good point because I didn't read that. In what's your biggest? You're big into conspiracy theories, and it kind of sounds like you are a little bit. So
I am. I love conspiracy theories. In fact, like behind me, like most of those books are like conspiracy theory books. But like, what was really funny was my students, like another thing that I knew that they were like Googling me online was I had them like, I forget what it's this class where like they're supposed to like have dialogue or whatever. And I had them like talk about if they could meet anybody in the world and have a podcast with them, dead or alive, you know, who would that be? And the first student goes, Lee Harvey Oswald. And I was like, why? Or Lee Harvey Oswald, why? And I was like, why? And she goes,
I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I just think it would be really interesting. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, or JFK, that'd be interesting too. And I'm like, I'm sure that would be very interesting. And I'm like, all right, next person. And they go, someone who witnessed 9/11. And they're like, specifically those people who were taking pictures of 9/11. And I went, great.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, next person. And they were like, probably the people who did the newscast on 9/11 before it even aired. All right, guys. I'm like, knock it off. I was like, this is a setup. I was like, who's next? And I was like, okay. And I was like, what were you going to say? I was like, were you going to say Jeffrey Epstein? Is that who you're going to interview? And she went, actually, Monica Lewinsky. And I was like, don't fucking figure. I get it. And I was like, come on. Like,
you have great students.
Yeah. I want to
know the direction that this was supposed to be in. Like, I wanted, like, I don't know. Like,
well, you're bringing them together. It seems like they talk and they conspire against you a little bit, but in a good way, a fun way. It seems a couple times now.
They all had a debate on whether the moon landing has happened. I don't think I convinced them, but I think they don't believe the moon landing anymore, and it's my fault. But
so right. What is the wildest conspiracy theory that you believe?
It's not a conspiracy theory, but I know it's true.
Yes. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. So DraftKings. So I'm not going to do like the obvious ones. Like we all know what the CIA is doing. CIA, if you are listening to my phone right now, it is a disservice to this country that you are not recruiting me, because I would do a much better job of covering this up. Anyways.
I like the twist there.
I look up jobs all the time at the CIA. I look up like lawn mowing positions at the Bohemian Grove just so I can like figure things out. But it hasn't happened for me yet. But anyways, this is not a conspiracy. This is true. DraftKings. So I make a lot of money off of DraftKings. That's how I know it's true. They one time banned me because I won too much money off of DraftKings. And that pissed me off.
I'm listening.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is another direction of you. Go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I shouldn't have called out DraftKings. But yeah, if you make too much money, they'll give you like a week suspension and they won't tell you why. It pisses me off. But anyways.
There goes that sponsorship for the week.
No, DraftKings, you can make a lot of money off of DraftKings. Jake Paul, like Mike Tyson fight, I was like, this is a prime opportunity to make a lot of money. And I didn't make a ton. I made like $750 off that. But like what DraftKings does is they're staging these different, whenever a big event is sponsored by DraftKings, they are staging things. And I know for a fact they're staging it, because with the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, like they had things like they'll go the distance, but Jake Paul will win. You couldn't win any money off of that one. And that was the most obvious one. And then they had really crazy ones that was like Jake Paul will bow down to Mike Tyson at the end. And it's just like, that's stupid. And I was like, but I bet they rehearsed that. Guess what he did at the end? He bowed down. And I bet on that one that he would do that. So they do that. Now, I don't know about the conspiracies with like the sports, like, you know, like they've staged like, you know, the Eagles to win, you know, or whatever. But like some of those big DraftKings sponsored events where it's like very specific things where like you'll see like this commentator will mention so and so 8 times before the second half. I think they've told that person, mentioned them 7 times, mentioned them 9 times. You know what I mean? Like I they play on that, and I don't know anything about the other like the other apps, but DraftKings does do that, and I don't know. I might have a gambling addiction. I don't know. I don't have a gambling addiction. I tell my bosses all the time, because he's sending me resources to therapy to get help for my addiction, and I tell him all the time, because I teach the DSM-5 class, I say I don't qualify for an addiction, because one of the criteria is you have to be asking friends and family for money because you're in financial trouble. Not doing that. Second thing is it has to be hurting your life financial circumstances. It's indeed helping my life circumstances. So I don't qualify for addiction under that. The only thing that did kind of impede on my life was when I was in the Detroit airport, and it was during March Madness. So there's all these paid pools. So I put like $50 in, and I was like, I always put like $5 in all these pools, and one of them's going to hit. So if all I had to do is get one of them to hit, got my $50 back. If I get 2, then, you know, and it, that's kind of how I do it. And I play the odds. Like I have a tattoo of the the regression formula I used to to calculate this stuff. But anyway, what I didn't know was that what I didn't know is that in Indiana, it's illegal to do paid pools. You can bet on other stuff, but paid pools are illegal in Indiana. I'm sitting in the Detroit airport entering all these where it's legal because it's Michigan. I get to Indiana and I realize I'm not, because you have to make picks every week. And I'm like, fuck. I put all this money. I put $50. I mean, I only put $50. Like, it wasn't a lot. So then every morning before work, I would drive to Michigan so I could make my picks for the week.
Come on. It's online.
Oh my God, I love you.
One time I was late for a meeting, and our secretary knew exactly what I was doing because I told her. And my boss was like, "What were you doing in Michigan that has caused you to be 15 minutes late?" And because he actually didn't know, and I was like, "I was picking my picks on DraftKings." And he was like, "I would rather you be driving to Michigan to pick up marijuana because a lot of people that." to get weed because it's not legal in Indiana, but in Michigan. He was like, "I would rather find out that you were going there to buy weed than that you're going there to do your draft picks." He was like, "This is insane." And I'm like, "It makes me money. Leave me alone. It makes me money to buy weed." No, I'm kidding.
How far of a drive is it to Michigan?
It's not far. Like where I work, because I work at, I work in South Bend. It's maybe... I mean, from South Bend, it's maybe 20 minutes. From my house, it's about an hour. It's over an hour from my house. I can commute quite a bit to get to work. But like, if I'm already at work, it's 15, 20 minutes. You have to drive far enough to where it's not pinging. And a lot of people know this trick. They know it with the weed. They know it with the DraftKings. They know it with the porn too, because porn's banned in Indiana, but you can go to Michigan and watch porn. So
God, your state is worse than ours.
No kidding.
We at least can even watch porn.
We can watch porn and
can't smoke weed.
Wink, wink.
We drive to Michigan as well. We drive to Upper Michigan for ours. So
yeah, I mean it's a known thing, but you do what you gotta do.
Wow, Indiana is brutal. Holy shit, you guys can't do anything fun.
Yeah.
Are we sure the Amish aren't growing some marijuana over there with the phones?
they come from wild parties because a lot of laws is like don't really. My dad's a police. He's retired now, but he was a state trooper for 28 years, I think. And he one of the most confusing people he had to pull over was he pulled over a group of Amish because like the taillights were out and it's like really dangerous, which by the way is another breaking of a rule that's using electricity, but their taillights were out and that's dangerous, like at night, like people will hit, you can't see them, so he pulled them over from that. They were all shit-faced drunk, all of them, and so he like called his boss and he was like, "What do you do when all the Amish are drunk because they're not actually driving?" And his boss was like, "I don't know." And so his boss calls the prosecutor, and the prosecutor goes, "I don't know." He's like, I don't know. And so the prosecutor calls the judge, and the judge is like, "I don't know." And there was never an answer to it. And so, like, I don't know. I was younger when the end result, but he had no, I don't think they ever got to the bottom of it. I think it ended up being like, I think he just followed them to where they needed to be because, like, it technically wasn't on the books as a law because they're not driving. They're just getting pulled.
Yeah, of course knows where they're going.
It's a cheat code. We don't need to get Uber anymore. We'll just dress like we're Amish and get the buggy.
Just got to call me Jebediah.
It might be a little cold. It might take a little bit. But, like, yeah, I don't think they ever figured out an answer. Like, I mean, it went all the way to the judge, and he was just like, shit, I don't know.
Hopefully I retire before I have to decide anything on this. Like, Jesus Christ.
Shoot, I wouldn't offend the Amish.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine the lawyers with that call? Like you're the defense attorney and you get that call and then the prosecutor and both the defense attorney and the prosecutor are like, I don't know what to do with this.
I think they're all like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't wanna
like it's gonna be up to the jury because like neither side knows how to defend or go against us.
I don't want to be known as the guy that arrested Amish people.
I mean, like, of course, arrested none. I mean, he might as well just add it to Hollywood.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was going to ask you about, you know, what does your dad feel about roughing up a nun?
He didn't rough her up. She was very compliant. I mean, she was very nice and she was very sweet. In fact, like, she walked up to him and went like this. Like, she knew what she was doing. It was for religious reasons. But yeah, he said, you know, if you take one more step closer to the president, unfortunately, I am going to have to detain you and I will have to arrest you. She took her step forward. And I mean, it was out of, like, you can tell it wasn't, like, out of aggression. It wasn't out of, like, mean. It was out of, like, religious belief. She took her step forward. She put her hands out. And he went, this can't be happening. Handcuffed her. And in the car, because she was in security, so someone else had to take her and put it in. But what was even worse about it was televised.
So what you're saying is luck runs in the family.
Yeah. At least he wasn't the one who escorted her to the car.
Okay.
Say that.
Okay.
Well, so we could probably find this on YouTube.
Yeah.
This was in, God, I don't know. This was it might be. I need to go search for that. This was when he was campaigning. So he was not president yet. So how many years ago was that? A minute, man, all the years blend together.
Which president? I didn't hear that part.
He wasn't president yet. He was campaigning. Obama.
Obama. Okay. So it was during the Obama part. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't
president. He had a couple of presidents in there.
Yeah. He wasn't president yet. It was the year he won, but he was campaigning. Okay. And why he was campaigning at Notre Dame, I don't know. Why you're campaigning in Indiana, I don't know. Indiana is a lost cause for any Democrat. I mean, that's
true. No,
we're
yeah,
not.
No porn, no weed. There ain't no death.
No, but like, he's so arrogant. He probably thought he could win him over. So
my only thing I can think of is he's a Notre Dame football fan, and maybe they're at the game that weekend. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, like, I mean, Indiana is a lost cause if you're a Democrat. That is a state that you just don't. Yeah. You can go to it if you're a Republican, honestly. Because you already won. So
it's a shoo-in.
Any candidate goes to Indiana is just kind of a waste of money, in my opinion.
It is, yeah.
This is true. Wow.
So yeah, I got one more question before we let you go, since you're a big conspiracy nut.
Yeah. Okay.
Who took out Charlie Kirk?
Well,
are you afraid to answer?
A little bit. I think that his free speech was a little more free than what they wanted it to be. I think that there are some donors. I think that some of his donors, one of them, their company is DW. That has fired, you know, people who have talked about free speech, one of them being Candace Owens. They talk about having an angel investor. They never reveal who that angel investor is. I think that Charlie Kirk might have had some angel investors with how quickly he rose. Yeah. He was very big on free speech. And if you watch it, it wasn't all, I mean, obviously he had his Republican views, but it was very much free speech, though. Like, there's a really beautiful clip, and I tear up. I actually played it for one of my classes because I thought it was a really beautiful clip, and I tear up, like, watching it, where it was, like, a son who was a Democrat and a dad who was a Republican, and they're arguing, and Charlie stops it, and he looks at the dad, and he goes, are you a Republican because you don't trust the government and you want to protect your son? And he said, yes. And then he looks at the son, and he goes, are you a Democrat because you trust our government and you want what's best for your dad in the future? And the dad goes, or and the son goes, yes. And he goes, see, you two are on opposite sides of the spectrum, but for the same reason, because you want what's best for each other. There's no reason for you guys to break a relationship over, you know, political views. There's no reason for any relationship. It's just all, you know, talk. We all have opinions, but at the end of the day, we just need to love each other. And it's a really beautiful clip to, like, show that, like, he wasn't being judgmental. And, like, I'm trying to figure out even talking about it, and I don't even give it justice talking about it. But I think that his free speech went too free for his donors. I think Tucker Carlson said some things that his donors did not like. I think a lot of people went on that stage and said some things that they didn't like. And I don't want to take over, like, you know, I don't want to say too much about it, but, like, you know, I don't want to get a copyright. I don't know. But, like, Candace Owens, she's done a really good, you know, in-depth look at it. And I can tell you, I've got some students who are very liberal students. I mean, I'm out of college who come up to me and they're like, you know, I've always been a liberal, but the Candace Owens series is very good. And I'm like, I'm not going to agree or disagree, but I will say I've watched it, if that means things. And so I think there's some stuff inside.
I've seen that clip. Yeah. And you're right. It is a great clip with the father and the son.
Yeah. I'm glad you know what I was referencing, because I'm not giving it justice at all when I describe it. But, like, it does make me, like, tear up and kind of cry a little bit when I see it.
Yeah. No, it's out there. So, I mean, everybody should go watch it, at least that one clip, because it's so true, regardless who's saying it.
Yeah, whenever people ask me what political affiliation I am, whenever my students are, I say, I think an equal amount of Republicans and an equal amount of Democrats have colluded with the deep state. And I also think an equal amount of Republicans and an equal amount of Democrats have also been assassinated by the deep state. And that is my political view.
That is your stance. Got it.
What's going to keep me from teaching social welfare policy in the future, I bet.
There's a chance. There's a chance I might. Yeah, I might not. Yeah, might want to keep it off the resume.
Well, they're going to be like, you know what? We're going to assign you to intro to write. How about English?
If you find yourself out there looking for a job and you need us to take this down, just send me an email. We'll scrub it for you.
Hey!
She's not going to be looking for a job.
That's
Don't worry
good
about
stuff
it.
On this.
I hope I'm not looking for a job. I have not ended up in HR for those reasons. I've ended up in HR for other reasons. I have not ended up in HR for these reasons, though.
That's good.
Yeah. I have not ended up in HR for these reasons yet.
Well, this was fun. And I really hope that you keep pursuing comedy because you are funny. I'm going to say it. You're funnier than I thought you were going to be. I have been nonstop laughing. You're a great storyteller. You know how to tell a story. So, Key, I hope you keep going.
Well, I'm glad I'm not a dud. I'm glad this isn't like, all right, we got to scrap this one.
Not at all. No, not at all.
That's only happened once.
No, but that everything you said is I agree with. It was a lot of fun. It was a pleasure meeting you. A lot of fun. Hopefully you do get to some open mics. Usually this is where we ask. We can ask, you know, to tell everybody where to find you, and hopefully shows are coming up in the near future for you.
Yeah. I'll be in Nashville. I'm hoping to get some open nights there. I'll be in Austin in December. Like, that's my whole plan in December. I'll be in Austin. I'll be doing open mics there. Gonna put my name in again for Kill Tony. So finger crossed, but we'll see. You can find me on Instagram at Kacey Bills. It's KayceeBills. It has not changed to Dr. Rabbit yet, because when I got verified, they go by your license number or your license. And so they won't let me change it to Dr. Rabbit, cause that's not on my license yet. I'm working on it. So right now you have to find me at just my full name. It's just KayceeBills. I don't know if you can tag that in here or not, but
we will.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. This was so much fun.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Miss Dr. Rabbit.
Dr. Rabbit? Yeah, thank you. I did that so that people wouldn't be able to find me for my students. We all saw how that worked out. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Brilliant, exactly.
Brilliant, but, you know, it's something.
That's so true. All right.
Have a nice night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Night-night.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.